Okay, today's daf is Shabbos, daf Chav Tes, and we are on Chav Chesam Abeis as we continue in Perek Bameh Madlikin, in the second Perek of Masechta Shabbos, related issues to lighting candles on Erev Shabbos. Says the Mishnah we had yesterday that if somebody wants to make a wick and they take a beged and they fold it up, but they do not singe it, which was the usual practice in those days in order to make it burn well, they didn't singe it yet, so the question is, what is the status of that beged? So we had a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer said that it is temeya, meaning it is still the previous status of the beged, it didn't lose its status, and therefore you're not allowed to light with it, as we'll talk more about the Shem right now. Rabbi Akiva says it is tahora, because it lost its status already, and therefore there's no problem with lighting it. So the Gemara said, regarding the issue of tumah, I understand what the machlokas is, whether the folding itself undoes its status of a beged. So Rabbi Elazar says it does not, and therefore it's still considered what it was, and therefore it is temeya, it's mekabel tumah. Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Akiva, kipel is mo'il, kipel accomplishes something, and it is batel, it's not a beged anymore. But regarding hadlaka, let's go to the fourth line or so of the Gemara, elinyan hadlaka b'may pligis, but regarding the issue of hadlaka, what's the machlokas? Why does Rabbi Eliezer say that one is not allowed to light it? Rabbi Kiva says you can use it. So we have a couple of suggestions in the Gemara. First, we have number one right here. Amar Blazar Amar Boshia, V'chein Amar of Ada Bar Ava, Hacha Begimel Al Gimel Mitzumtzamos Askinan. We're talking about a beged that was very small, 3x3 etzbos. 3x3, it's the smallest beged, as we spoke about the past couple of days, the smallest measure of a beged, Semer Pishtim and other begadim. We have the different sources over the past couple of blot. So the Gemara, Rav Ada Bar Ava says, here we're talking about a beged that started off with the minimum shear, the minimum size of beged, and Ubi Yantif Shechalios Erev Shabbos Askinan. And we're talking about a case of it's Yantif on Friday, it's Yantif on Erev Shabbos. And what other givens are there? The Kule Alma Islahud Rav Yehuda. Everybody agrees to Rav Yehuda, the Amar, who we mentioned, I think, once before, but we're going to have a lot in the Masechta related to Muksa. Rav Yehuda, who holds the Amar, Masikin Bekalim, the Ein Masikin Beshivre Kalim. One is allowed to heat on Yantif, when one is allowed to light a fire on Yantif. One is allowed to use Kalim. Kalim are vessels which were not mukso when Yantav started. A vessel is usable. So if I could use a vessel for drinking from, I could also use a vessel for burning with, right? It's not mukso. So I'm allowed to be masik, but kalim, but I'm not allowed to be masik. I'm not allowed to heat with shivri kalim, with broken pieces of vessels that broke on Yantav. Because that would be an issue of nolad, an issue of something that was created on Shabbos or Yantif that was not there before Yantif, that is a form of muksa. It's nolad. So everybody agrees, the Gemara assumes, a given, that there's an issue of nolad, so you could use kalim, but you cannot use shivrei kalim. Udekule alma, last given, islahu de'ula. And everybody agrees to ula, de'amar ula. Ula says, hamadlik, sarach sheyadlik barov hayotze. We had this at the beginning of the parak, that when you light Shabbos candles, you have to light it, you have to keep your hands there with the match, with the candle, in order for it to then remain lit itself without needing any other help. So that is all the givens. Again, we're talking about a case of it's Yantif on Friday, and your beged is very small. Those are the two points of reality. And then the two points of halacha is, everybody agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that you can't use shivrei kalim, you can't use nolan, and everybody agrees that you have to keep your hand there until the light goes by itself. So that is all the givens to mitzius and to halachas. And now we put it all together and say, okay, so what is the machlokas about? So Rabbi Eliezer savar, Rabbi Eliezer holds, kipel in a moel, as he said regarding the tumah issue. Folding over the tiny little beged does not change its status. And therefore, it's still called a beged when you're about to light. It's still called a beged. V'kivan da'adlik be'purta, and the second that you light a little bit, so now it's smaller than 3x3. So havile shever kli. So it's not called a beged anymore, so now it's a different status. It's considered a broken shard of a kli. It's a piece of a beged, but a broken piece, and you have to keep your hand there all the time until it splits. So there's a broken kli and you still have to keep your hand there. And when you're lighting with a shever kli and you're involved with the shever kli. That's the problem why Rabbi Elazar says you're not allowed to light. We're going to see about this on Amud Aleph, on Chaftas Amud Aleph, the Rashba proves from a Gemara there and from this Gemara that the issue when it comes to Muksa is not using Muksa or benefiting from Muksa. You're allowed to get benefit from Muksa on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be involved with Muksa on Shabbos. Because here, whether you keep your hand there or not, you're getting benefit from the Muksa. And yet the only issue is, according to the opinion, like we said, everybody agrees to here, that you have to keep your hand there until it goes by itself. That's the problem here, because you're still involved with it. If you would just light it for a second and then leave, it wouldn't be a problem, halakhically. Even if you hold up the moksa issue, because then you're not involved, you can benefit from it. But you're not involved in it, you're not moving it, but Siddur Rashba says, since the Gemara assumes the only issue is the Madlik Barov Hayotzi, and your hand constantly having to be there until it goes by itself, that's one of the rayas, one of the proofs that Muksa is an issue of moving Muksa and being involved in Muksa. But just getting benefit from Muksa on Shabbos is not a problem. One is allowed to benefit from Muksa. Rabbi Akiva says, no, kipul mo'il. The folding over already accomplishes something. It is not considered a kli. We assume you did that. You did the kipul on Erev Yantif, the Ein Toras Kli Olav. Already when Yantif started, it is not called a beggar, it's not called a Kli, and therefore it's called a Shever Kli before Yantif. So there's no issue of no one. V'chi Kamalik, so when you light with it, it's Baba Kamalik, you're just lighting with a Stamine, it's just a piece of an item that didn't have any status originally when Yantif started anyway. So therefore it's not a problem. And Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef ends off, Hainu de Tanita, that's what I learned in a Brisa discussing a Mishnah, Gimel Mitzum Samos. One of the Mishnahs is about a Vega that's exactly 3x3 of Loyatan al Mahilchus. I didn't realize which Mishnah this was related to and Lamaisa, why you needed it to be about just a 3x3 baguette. So now I understand it. Now I understand because Rav Adar Bar Ava related it to our Mishnah and explained it and explained the reasons. Now I understand. That is all pshat number one. What's the case of our Mishnah? Again, every case is going to have to add in details that are not in our Mishnah. So the details we're adding in here is that it's Yantif. It's Yantif Erev Shabbos, right, which is not in our Mishnah. But that's what we say. It's Yantif Erev Shabbos, and it's an issue of no lot. And what they're really arguing about is the general issue of Muksa. General issue of Muksa. Good. 2 points. Number one, remember, actually we haven't mentioned this in a while, the Gemara in Daf Beis and Maseches Beitza discusses that though they are two principles, they usually go together, Nolad and Muksa. Nolad is a specific form of Muksa, or something similar to Muksa. And Muksa is something that is not set aside to use on Shabbos. It is Muksa, it is set aside not to use. Many different types of muksa. Muksa machmas iser, because of if I am involved in it, I would do an aveira. Muksa machmas chesr and kiss. It is something that is very, very valuable, and I wouldn't use it except for the purpose that it is meant to be used for. Muksa machmas gufo. It inherently has no purpose. Rocks and stones and dirt. Muksa, other types of muksa as well. We'll get, that's one whole group. Then there's something called Nolad, which is not exactly Muksa, is something that was created and achieved a new form on Shabbos. One might be Mechalik between those two, but usually they go together, so there's all the different types of Muksas. And one might be Mechalik within those Muksas, as we'll see. Reb Shimon, who the Gemara assumes does not hold a Muksa, and Reb Yehuda, who holds a Muksa, Reb Shimon holds a lot of Muksas. It's not that he doesn't hold any muksas. He holds of less muksas than Rabbi Yehuda. But you have all the types of muksas, and then we have the issue of Nolad, and then just to throw one more in, we have the category of Kli Shemalachta L'Isser, where you have a Kli that is usually used for an Isser, a stapler, a scissors, a pen. All of those are also not run-of-the-mill muksa. They're in the category of Kli Shemalachta L'Isser, which has more heterim than other muksas. You're allowed to move Kli Shemalachta L'Isser. Lasarach Gufo, Lasarach Bakomo. As we'll see later on, I think in the 17th parak in Kol HaKelim. So that is that whenever muksa comes up, you have to know which muksa you're talking about, and certain muksas more people agree with, and certain muksas less people agree with. Here we're talking about Nolad. So Nolad, the Gemara says, is a machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the machlokas that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about as well. Number one. Number two, this we mentioned on Daf Beis, right when we started the Masechta, if you remember we had a discussion, about how much is Nolad on the... actually, we'll wait with that. We'll talk about that when we get up to it. Let's continue down now. Says the Gemara three lines from the bottom. So we all have, this was the first shot of the Mishnah, Rav Adar Bar Ahava, who says that the Mishnah is about a case of Yantav Erev Shabbos, and you have to light it, and the issue is no light. Umi Dekametare, Rav Adar Bar Ahava, Alibed Rav Yehuda, one of the givens that Rav Adar Bar had was that, and everybody agrees to the issue of no light. The question is this a case of no light? If it would be no light, everybody agrees it's us. So the machlokas is, did this beged lose its status when it was made smaller? But everybody would agree. Everybody agrees to Rabbi Yehuda. Shvav and Rabbi Yehuda Svirle. Is that to say that Rav Adar Bar Ahava himself holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Umi Amar Rav Adar Bar Ahava Hachi? Did he really say that? We have elsewhere that he does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. V'yamar Rav Adar Bar Ahava, Nachri Shechaka Ka Bibaka'as, a Nachri who chiseled out a log and made a log into something usable now, so that log did not have a status of a kli. And now it has the status of a kli, right? You created a base kibble, you created a receptacle area in a log. Shechaka ka bibakas, Yisrael masika biyantif. A Jew is allowed to use that on yantif. If the non-Jew did that on yantif, what do you mean? Isn't it nolad? It wasn't a kli when yantif started, now it's a kli, and you see that Rav Adar Bar Ahava says it's mutter. So you see, he doesn't hold the Rav Yehuda. He doesn't hold the issues of nolad. V'yamai noladu. So the Gemara answers, "L'divreiem derabalazer, Rabbi Kiva kamar levelelo sfirale." Really, he doesn't hold of nolad. He doesn't hold that nolad is a problem. He's just explaining that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer would both hold that it's a problem, but he himself might not hold it as a problem. Even within nolad, you might say there are machlokas about some things considered nolad, some things not considered nolad, as we're going to have in a couple of minutes. But that is all. Number one, Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava. Number two, Rava Amar. This is the issue in the Mishnah. Again, the Tumah issue we already discussed right at the beginning. We're talking about the Hadlaka issue. Why is there a machlokas about lighting this unsinged, folded beged on Erev Shabbos? So we had number one already, now we have number two. Rava Amar, third line, Hainu Taima Rabbi Eliezer. This is the reason for Rabbi Eliezer. Why he says you can't light with it. Again, whenever you have a machlokas tanab, you always have to ask, who is the obvious opinion? Who's the one that has to be proven? So the Gemara here is only proving one side, because the other one, right? Why would I think you can't light a little beged that you made into a wick on Erev Shabbos? So Rabbi Elazar is the one that has to be proven. That's why the Gemara here goes into his reason. Because we say you're not, shouldn't use a wick that was not singed. It doesn't light well. It might go out. Nothing to do with Nolad. Nothing to do with the Yantif. No, it's just like there are other cases in this perek, that you can't light with something that's not going to light well, either because it might go out and you'll leave, or it might start going out and you might stoke the flame in order to make it bigger. So that's why you can't light with a psilo shein mechurachas, velo besmartutin shein mechurachin, or with shmatas, or with garments that are not mechurachin. Okay, that is the reason, because it doesn't light well. You look at Tosus quotes, in the second half of the top Tosas, the Yeshalot, the Benir Ali, first skinny line. Debechinam nagu anashim lahavik apsilu lachabosa, kidei shetehemu huv heves. That minag, that some men light the candles and then put them out for their wives, you don't have to worry about that. That minag is not a minag that you have to do. Why, says Tosas? Because we don't paskin like this opinion anyway. We don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Dehayin alacha Rabbi Eliezer. Deshamutehu. It's a Talmud of Rabbi Beishamai. So we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer anyway. Sounds like the types of candles there are even without that need. Tosfos quotes this minog. The Rush quotes the minog also. Again, this is the minog I mentioned yesterday, that some, again, especially in the days of old, it was more common to have the minog of lighting the candles beforehand because that helped it light. Bisman hazeh, it's not as much, so it's whatever the woman wants. The woman wants you to light the candles because she wants to do what her grandmother did. Wonderful. If not, also wonderful. Whatever one does. This quote in the Shulchan Aruch, though, that it does not need to be done. The Shulchan Aruch says, Reish Samach Dalet, Ein Tzarech Lahav Hev Apsila. That is, Ein Tzarech Lahav Apsila. Period. That is the Shulchan Aruch. Pirish, Inyan Hivhov Yipol Al Dover, Sheino Nisraf Lagamre, Vagam Lokayim Lagamre. The chulu. When we call makom, the Rama says, "Nagu lahabli kapsila ulachabosa kadesh shetehem mechureches v'yoches b'ha'or yafeh." 500 years ago, I guess that was the mitzvah. The Rama says, "But the minhag is to do it. We don't pass like Rabbi Elazar. The minhag is to do it so that it lights a little better." Mishnah Berurah adds, V'yaf b'ner ha'kach kein shalanu osin kein, could even do it with our candles, according to the Magen Avraham, V'ze yasa ha'ish b'tchila, and the man should do this, V'yia to'eles shlotisha ha'ish ha'balakasa b'agiyazmana. So it's already. The key words are, it's already when it's time to light candles, the husband should have set everything up. If one doesn't light it, the husband should be setting up the candles. We've mentioned the beautiful diak in the past. We'll mention it now. We'll mention it again when we get up to it. In a couple of days, we're going to have the Mishnah later on in the parak of the Al Shalosh Aveiros Nashim Meisas Bishas Leidasan. Daf Lamed Aleph from a base. We're going to have, what are the three issues that the woman has to be extra careful about? Nida, Chava, and Hatlakas Aner. Nida, Chava, and Hatlakas Aner. So Rabbi Kiva Eger on Mishnah is there, says, Nida, it's not parallel. It should be Nida, Chala, Ner. Or, Haf-Prisas Nida, Haf-Rashas Chala, and Alokas Ner. You should mention the verb, but you don't mention the verb. Why by the first two, you only have the noun? Nida, Chala, and then the third one, you have Hadlokas Ner. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, is being merames to you, that the woman is only involved in the Hadlokas Ner, the Haskanas Ner, the setting up of the candles, that's on the man. The man should do that. The man should set everything up. Only Hadlokas Ner is on the Isha, but the man should be setting up the candles. And if a man gets home very late on Fridays, he's allowed to do it on Thursday. I'm an extremist. Right? Thursday night, whenever it is during the week, there's no excuse. The husband should be setting up the candles whenever there's time. That's his kiyum, because the mitzvah is on both of them. The woman does it. The woman is, l'maisa, the minhag is for a woman to light the candles, either because of Chava, she was machabe, the aura of the world, so she's madlik, the aura of the world every week, or the Rambam says she's osekes in all tzarchei abayis, and this is also tzarchei abayis, creating the environment in the house. So a woman lights it, l'maisa, but it's the same mitzvah on the husband and the wife, so the husband should have at least a little kiyum in it. So that's why he should set up the candles. Similar to the minhag of the woman trying to get a little bit in the mitzvah of the husband, there's a minhag, it's not a chiyuv, that the woman buys, when a couple gets married, the woman sometimes buys the husband a talis. Right? So at least she gets a little kiyum. That's not her mitzvah, it's the husband's mitzvah, but there is a minhag that the husband not only sets up the candles, sometimes buys his wife the candles, right? So that's part of his mitzvah every week. And the other way that the woman, though she has no connection to the mitzvah of tzitzis, but that is the minhag that is performed. And again, it's only a minhag. If one doesn't have this minhag, it's fine. If the woman did not buy the wife, they're still married, and everything is wonderful and fine, and one doesn't have to worry about it. Okay, but this is the minhag quoted. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this, and Rabbi Kiva Eger on that Mishnah makes that comment. Good, finishing up right before the two dots. Ella hadatani Rav Yosef, gimel gimel mitzum samos l'may hilchasa. If the second day is right, like Rava, so the statement that Rav Yosef had of 3x3, that's the shear. So l'may nafkamina, why is that quoted related to our Mishnah? So lenin tuma, relating to the tuma issue, not related to the hadlaka issue. It's not, because the Mishnah says in Maseches Kalim, gimel gimel sha'amru, when you have a minimum shear, chutz min hamalal. That's excluding the hem, where you fold over the baguette at the edge in order to stay, so it doesn't fray. So the 3x3 minimum shear for a baguette is excluding that edge. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. And the Chacham say no, it's exactly 3x3, including the whole baguette. That's good enough for the minimum requirement to be a baguette lagabe tuma. Even though it's only chazi la'anim, as we said a couple of days ago, it's still called a baguette. Good. So we have two different days what the Mishnah is talking about. Maybe we'll have another one later on. But now we go into once Nolad and issues of Muksa came up, so the Gemara talks about it now. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Masikin bekelin me masikin b'shivrei kelim. Three machlokos in a row. Number one is what we had before. Rav says, Masikin bekelim me masikin b'shivrei kelim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rav quotes Rabbi Yehuda. You're allowed to heat on Yontif with kelim. And not with shivrei kelim, because that would be an issue of nolad. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Shimon says no problem. You're allowed to use shivrei kelim as well. Machlokos number two. Masikin b'tmarim. You're allowed to use dates. If one wants to use dates as fuel. Achlan, but if you ate some dates on Yontif, ein masikin begarineim, you can't use their seeds, because their seeds are muksa. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Shimon Mati, Rabbi Shimon says, no problem, the seeds are not muksa. Masikin be'egozen, you're allowed to use nuts for fuel. Achlan, ein masikin bekliposeyen. Once they are eaten, so then you cannot use their klipos. You can't use the shells. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Shimon Matir. So we have these three machlokos in the Shulchan Aruch. Though we usually pass in like Rabbi Shimon, we usually say that we pass in like Rabbi Shimon. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch here, in Tav Kuf Aleph, it could be that on Yantif, Tav Kuf Aleph, Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch there, over here, Tav Kuf Aleph in Aruch Chaim. I have it here. No, I think you got it. Tav Kuf Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch. See if we get it for a second. Shulchan Aruch says in Tav Kuf Aleph in Hilchos Yantif. This is not in Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Yantif, that's what we're talking about here about eating on Yantif. Says the Shulchan Aruch there. The Shulchan Aruch talks about different issues of Muksa on Yantif. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Kalim Shenishbru B'Yantif, Ein Masigin Mehem Mibdei Sheheim Nolad. He quotes the Rebbe Yehuda opinion here. Again, because you don't pass on across the board everything Rebbe Shimon says. Vim hisik bekelim asur lafog ba'esh la'achar shehud l'ku b'miksas. Toz havi shivrei kli. Elim kein riba aleim eitzim muchanim. As we're going to have Hashem later on. Avo masikin bekelim shleimim o bekelim shenishbru mi ba'od yom. Shulchan Aruch, next. Shkedim ve'egozim sh'achla me'er of yantif. Masikin beklipayim b'yantif. Vim'achlam b'yantif ein masikin beklipayim. So interesting, though, we usually go like Rabbi Shimon. Here, the Shulchan Aruch is quoting like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Ein lahasigim hagozim eshkedim atzmon. Okay, he continues here. But that is an important ha'ara that, so you might have noticed that the little letter of the Ein Mishpat is by Rabbi Yehuda. So we have these three cases. Shivrei kelim and seeds and shells. Vitzricha, says the Gemara Vitzricha, and we need machlokes quoted in all three cases. Why? De'iyashmina kamaisa, if I only had the first case of their machlokas is by Shivrei Kelim, by that Nolad, b'yahikam Rabbi Yehuda. There, that's where Rabbi Yehuda said is a problem. You shouldn't make kara kli v'hashta shever kli. It used to be a kli, and now it's a broken shard. V'havile Nolad v'aser, that's Nolad. Avol tamarim, but in case number two, demei kara garin v'hashta garin, the seeds were always there. You just couldn't see them. Same as Shaper Dami, maybe that's not called Nolad. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would not aser there, because that was always there. It's not a new state. The state was always there, it was just covered. So that's why you need machlokas number two. The Yashmin and Garinin, and if I only had that case of the Garinin, Hava Amina de Meikara Machasian Vashnu Magalian. I would have thought there is a problem because it at least changed its state from covered to revealed. The seeds. Aval klipea gozim de meikara miglu vahashta miglu. But when it comes to klifim of egozim, shells of nuts, which you could always see, right? Originally it was outside and outside. Amba shabra dummies. Maybe there it's not a problem either. Tricha. That's what you need. Even the third case is a problem. Period. So how do we, let's say we're eating something on Shabbos, we're eating something on Yantif, and we leave over. So how do we clear our table? We have chicken bones. Right, we have somebody eats garinim. There are shells, there are pits. So what? How do we clean that? So that's the heter of grav shel rei. That's the heter of, even though there's issues of muksa, there's a heter, as we'll have later on, grav shel rei. If there's something, literally a grav shel rei means the kli that somebody used to go to the bathroom in. Grav shel rei. If somebody has something disgusting in their living space, so chazal never goes or muksa in that circumstance. So therefore, you ought to take it out and throw it in the garbage. Somebody has a dirty diaper. Somebody changed their baby. So what? Once they take the diaper off, you have to leave it there for the rest of Shabbos? No. You ought to throw it in the garbage. If the garbage is full, you ought to take the garbage out on Shabbos? The answer is yes, for two reasons. Number one, there's a lot of non-muksa in the garbage. So it's a basis l'davar ha'asar and l'davar ha'mutter. There's a lot of non-muksa. There's good food in the garbage. Right? There's plates in the garbage. There's this falling. Okay, we throw it out. But it's still good. Number two, it's graf shel rei. You need to use that space. You don't want it in the kitchen. You have to make sure not to tie it in a problematic way. But you got to take that out. There are diapers. Same thing with clearing the table. If there's stuff on the table it's useless, but I need to clear the table. It's graf shel rei. It's in my living room. It's in my dining room. So then one is allowed to move it. Again, all of muksa is isurei derabanan. Chazal never goes there in a circumstance of graf shel rei. Good. Says those are the three cases here that even though we paskin that they shouldn't be used for lighting fire, but if one needs to move them, one needs to move them. Says the Gemara, Vahadarav, Lav Beferish Itmar, Elamechola Itmar. That which Rav said, Rav quoted this whole thing in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that Masigim Kelim, Masigim Beshivre Kelim. So that Rav holds that the case of the seeds, Rashi points out. That's what we're going to prove. Rav saying that Rabbi Yehuda would ask for the seeds case, he didn't hear Rabbi Yehuda give a shir about that. But there was a story, and that we got it from there. Derav, El Machol Edmar, Derav Achal, or we didn't get it, It's not that Rav from Yehuda, we didn't hear a shiur from Rav about it. But there was a story about Rav, and we figured out what he held. The Rav achol tamri v'shada kashyasa lubuchya. Rav was once eating dates, and he, on a weekday, and he threw the seeds into the oven. Amar le Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya says in Bar Pachsi, great one. Kenegdo b'yantif aser. You know, if you have those seeds on yantif, you can't throw them into the oven. You wouldn't be able to do that on yantif. And we assume that he accepted what Rabbi Chiya said. So that's the case of Rav. That's what we assume, that Rav would say that according to Rabbi Yehuda it would be nolad, because on weekday he did it, then Rabbi Chiya said you can't do that on yantif. But now the Gemara analyzes, is that really a good enough raya? Kibla minei lo kibla minei. Did he accept that machlokas? Did he accept that argument for Rabbi Chiya or not? So Tashma, Tachiyasa, Rav LeBavel, when Rav came to Bavel, Achal Tamri, V'shadak HaShashel L'chiyusa. When Rav came to Bavel, he ate dates, and he threw the seeds to the animals. So Maila B'Parsiyasa V'lo Kibla, isn't this Torah, and this is on Yantif. So Maila B'Parsiyasa, are we talking about Parsiyasa, dates that are great, Parsiyasa are Persian, or great dates that are very ripe, and when you eat the date, you get all of the flesh of the date off of the seed, off of the pit. So the only thing that's left on the pit is the pit, and it's not edible. Aren't we talking about those kind of dates? So therefore, when he threw it to the animal and he used it, it should have been totally muksa, should have been nolad, and yet he still gave it to the animal. So you see, he did not accept Rabbi Chiya's claim. Because you see, this was a total, just a pit, and he still used it on yantif. So where it says, low, maybe we're not talking about those types of dates. Ba'ar miyasa. Maybe we're talking about different types of dates that don't get totally ripe, and even when you finish eating, there's still flesh on the pit. Right? Sometimes we have, you know, you eat a fruit, and you don't eat everything to the last drop. You end up leaving some of the flesh of the fruit on the pit, so therefore that's not totally nolad, because there's still flesh on there, it's still edible. And when you threw it there, it did not have the status of a pure pit, that would be nolad. Ho v'chazi agav imayu. Since it is ro'i agav, literally, its mother, meaning the fruit on it, so once the fruit is edible, so that's why the pit is not going to be edible, is not going to be nolad either. So there's no raya. It could probably be right for you also. I mean, we're going to get into whatever is roi. The Gemara talks about if something is roi l'machal behema, that already might get out of the problem of nolad or muksa. So I don't think you have to say it, but I guess it's that issue. But either way, the Gemara says, so it's no roi that he rejected Rabbi Chiya. It could be that if it was mamish, just the pit, it would be muksa, it would be nolad. But the story is different, so we don't have a raya that's what Rav said. Yeah.
No. I just thought if you throw when if it's food for your animal, why is that?
I'm saying, but if it's a plain pit, then it might not be. I'm saying, but if it had some flesh on it, so then that would be good enough.
But obviously, he threw it, even if it was a Persian. But unless you're saying, Matthias, he went to throw it.
Maybe right. Would the animal have eaten the pit, just the pit? So again, maybe the Gemara is assuming like the day of that it has to be roi for you. And then it would be an issue anyway. Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Chana Rav Yosef. One second, Rav Yehuda Damar Masikim Mekelim Masikim Shivrei Kelim. According to Rav Yehuda, who said you can't use broken kelim to heat on yantif, Kivan Da'alik Behu Perta Havili Shivrei Kelim. I don't understand. Let's say you throw in a kli. So right when you threw the kli in, a second later, it becomes a shiver kli. And as you stoke the flames, which we probably do on Yantif, as you have a fire, be surkam hapech. So you're moving the shever kli anyway. So Rabbi Yehuda, okay, only use real full kalim. But in a second, it's going to be a shever kli. So isn't that a problem? Be surkam hapech. So this is where that Rashba is. I mentioned before. The Rashba says that once you see from this Gemara, be surkam hapech. Right, getting benefit from it is not the problem. It's the mahapich is the problem. Nirali de'ein iser lehanos min hamuksa. You see from here, says the Rashba, there's no iser of getting benefit from muksa. De'lo kasha le'elahecha mahapich lehu. Klomar sh'asil ataltel. Ha'ilo mahapich behu. Af abisha tafshul mizbashul bo. Ein bakach klum. There's no problem with benefiting. It's a yisod that we might know. But the Rashba says, you learn it from this Gemara. There's no problem with benefiting from muksa on Shabbos. The only problem is moving muksa. Shalasu elo taltlo olo achlo. Ve'afilu lush tamish bo biyadayim. Or to move it around. Ve'afilu bim komo. To use it even and to be involved in it, even if you don't exactly move it. Aval hanah habam meila shaper dami. But hanah that just happens, it is okay. So the Gemara asks, so even according to Yehuda, aren't you being mahapich with muksa? Isn't it a shever kli a minute later? So Gemara says, no, da'av kedir Rav Masna. Maybe what's mutter is only like what Rav Masna suggested. Da'av Rav Masna amar Rav, eitzim shenashu minadekel letanur biyantif. If you have a tree that's hanging over your oven, let's say you had an outdoor oven, you have a tree over your oven, and on yantif, a tree breaks a branch, breaks off, and it happens to fall into your oven, right? Because if a branch breaks off, that's muksa for you, right? So you can't deal with that. But what if it fell straight into your oven? Are you allowed to use it? The answer is yes. And what is the issue if you want to stoke the coals then? You want to stoke the wood, you don't want to move that. It's no lot. Marbe eitzim uchanim umasikan. You can be marbe. Throw in wood that you had from before yantif, and then do it as long as it's batel barov. As long as the wood is batel barov, it is good enough, and you're allowed to use it. That's what Rashi here says. Marba alein umavatlan barov. Bittel barov doesn't only apply by liquids. It applies here when it comes to wood. Right, Ryan, the Gemara, a number of places, uses bittel barov in an unusual context. In the beginning of Maseches Sukkah, the Gemara uses bittel barov for schach. If you have some pasul schach, if you mix it up and you make the majority of good schach, so there could be bittel barov. Bittel barov is not only used by liquids. That's what Rabasa says. That's the case here. The reason that it's not a problem and you wouldn't be moving it is because you are marbe, you put items that are not nolad. They're not nolad, you're allowed to use it. This is the issue of, interesting here, you're being mevatel in Isra l'chadchila. Right? You're being mevatel. Are you allowed to be mevatel? We had a whole daf be'in shir about this a couple of years ago. Usually we say by isurim, if bittel happens, fine. You could rely on it. But you can't cause it to happen. If I want my chicken soup to be a little more tangy, I want to put a little milk in, but I'll put in less than 1/60. Right? Batal b'shishim. Not allowed to do that. I'm not allowed to cause bittel l'chadchila. If bittel occurs, then I can rely on bittel. So that's what the Gemara says there, Maseches Beitza, that as long as it's an issa d'rabbanan, you're allowed to be mevatel l'chadchila. Maybe not across the board, but that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin. As long as it's an issa d'rabbanan, you're allowed to be mevatel l'chadchila. So that's what our Gemara is assuming. The only problem with that is what the Shulchan Aruch says. In Yaradeya, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that you're allowed to be mevatel l'chadchila by Yisurei D'Rabbanan. The problem is in Aruch Chaim, where the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have oil left over on the eighth day of Chanukah, then you're not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to be marbe alav and to use it for yourself on the next day. You have to burn it. Osalam adur b'fnei atzma. You have to just burn it. Or some save their oil to burn with the chametz, like they do with the lulav. Right? If somebody has a place to put it, then make sure it's not used. So the big shaila Achronim deal with is how do you put those two Shulchan Aruchs together? We pass the maker of din like our Gemara says, Bittel usul l'chadchila is mutter when it comes to Yisurei D'Rabbanan. And what about Chanukah candles? By Chanukah candles, the Shulchan Aruch says the fish, you're not allowed to. So all different answers given. Maybe Chanukah candles is different, some Achronim say, because it's Dumi to Mikdash. It's Dumi to the Mikdash, like we discussed earlier in the Perek. This goes on the list. It's similar to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis has different rules. Different rules, even though it's a Durabanan. But maybe it's different, rules. And there are others, as far as that apply. Okay, we'll continue, and if there's time for more Bittel Issa L'chadchila, we'll return. Okay, but now we continue now. Rav Hamnuna Amar. Rav Hamnuna, now we're going all the way back. A third pshat of the Mishnah. What is the Mishnah? What's the machlokas about? Why not let it light it? So we had number one, Rabbi the Barava, that's talking about a 3x3 mutzum samos, and the issue is no lot. Number two, we had Rava on top. The issue is that it's a psilo that doesn't burn well. It's ena mechurachas. Now we have number three. Rav Hamnuna Amar, Hacha Bipachos Mishlosha al Shlosha Askinan. No, we're talking about a tiny little beged that you were going to use for something. You were going to use for something, even though it's tiny, but you designated it, you gave it a purpose, even though it's tiny. Hacha Bipachos Mishlosha al Shlosha Askinan. It's less than 3x3, less than 3x3 what? Tfachim. Remember, Shlosha is Tfachim. Shalosh is Etzbos. Shlosha is Tfachim. So it's somewhere between 3x3 etzbos and 3x3 tfachim. So it's a pretty small baguette. And you designated it for a use, but then you put it somewhere. And the machlokas is, you put it somewhere, did you now ruin its uses, and you're basically saying it's garbage, and therefore it's not a kli anymore? Or, no. Umikule matlani yoshanu kan. And we're talking about small items, small begadim that are kal in people's eyes. Kule matlanios. Rashi says, matlanios hakalos be'enav. That's what we're talking. Items that you use for some purposes, but you very easily might just throw it out tomorrow. So that's the machlokas. Again, a total machlokas that is not at all hinted to in the Mishnah, but that's what we're suggesting it's about. V'azra, b'lezer l'tameh, v'rebeli kiva l'tameh. And they're following their own reasoning. Let's do this whole machlokas, and then at the end, we will relate it back to our Mishnah. Ditzan. The Mishnah says there in Mesechus Kalim, Pachot b'shlosha shlosha, if you have a beggar that's less than 3x3 tachim, shehizkinu l'fakak bo'es amercha, that you use as a stopper. You have a stopper in your bathtub, and you put a little beged in there to use as a stopper, so the water doesn't go out. Ulanarbo, it's a kadera, or when you take a pot off the fire, the handles are hot, you need to hold it with a little beged. So that's what you designate it for. Ulakanechbo, or to wipe off the mill. Bein minamucha, so that's, in all those cases, you have this little beged. So three shitas in the Mishnah. First opinion says, Bein minamuchan, bein she'ein minamuchan, tame. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, it's still tame. Still tame. We don't know what muchan and not muchan means. We'll have to see that in the Gemara. But Rabbi Eliezer says, tame, it retains its status. It retains its status as long as possible. It retains its status. And this is going to be like Rabbi Eliezer's opinion in our Mishnah. Right? Rabbi Eliezer says it retains its status even though you folded it. Rabbi Yeshua Amar, Beim Anamuchan, Beim Shalom Anamuchan Tor, the opposite. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, kind of automatically, even if it's muchan, Eim Anamuchan, whatever that means, Tor, it loses its status and it's already not Makabal Toma. Rabbi Akiva Omar split. Min hamuchan tameh, shlo min hamuchan tar. If it's prepared, tameh, it's not prepared tar. So what does this mean? What does muchan and not muchan mean? So v'yamar ulevi tamer, amar rabrechan, amar rabbi yochanan. So there are different cases under discussion here. Hakol modim zarko bash, but divrei hakol tar. Everybody would agree if you took this beged that you used to use for these purposes and you threw it in the garbage, everybody agrees that beged is no longer makabel tuma. It's so iffy as it is. It's a small beged. So as long as you're using it, fine. It's makabel tuma. But the second you throw it in the garbage, we say it loses its status and it's not makabel tuma. So if you actually threw it in the garbage, it wouldn't be a machlokas. That would for sure be tahor. Hinichu b'kufsa, and the opposite. What if you put it in a drawer? You put it in your towel drawer, then the opposite. Divrei hakol tameh. Everybody would agree that's showing your megala, your das, that you're using that. And you're keeping that as a towel. What's the machlokas about the two middle cases? There are two middle cases. Lo nechleku ella shetla'o bimagod, if you hung it on a nail, on a peg. O shehinichu l'acharei dela, so you put it on the doorknob in the back of the door. So hanging on a peg and putting it on the back of the doorknob. So on a peg is better than the doorknob, but both of those are in between putting it in a drawer and throwing it in the garbage. Right? So both of those are in between. So that's the hidden machlokas here between these tana'im. Rebbe Eliezer savar mitlo zarko ba'ashba. Rebbe Eliezer says it's garbage or nothing. Garbage is tahar. Everything else is tameh. By the fact that you didn't throw it in the garbage, daiti laveh. You obviously care about it. Umay karile shlomin hamuchan. So what does it mean that even shlomin hamuchan, it's going to be tameh still? Telagabi kufsala muchanu. Shlomin hamuchan means even if you didn't put it in the drawer, but still you care about it. You hung it on the nail, you put it behind your door. So that is min hamuchan. And this is the type of beged that we're talking about in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we're talking about this matzlis that you're using for a wick that you did one of these actions to. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. It's still mekabelas tuma, and when you use it, you're breaking it shever kli. Good. Rabbi Yeshua savar midiloi nicha b'kufsa. Rabbi Yeshua said the opposite. No, it's the drawer or anything else. If you didn't put it in a drawer, bitulei batli, you obviously don't care about it. Umay karele muchan, and why is it called even in mina muchan, if you prepared it, it's still tahor, delagabe ashba muchanu, because compared to the garbage, so it's more muchan than that, but Rabbi Yeshua says in both of the cases, it would be lose its status and it would be tahor. For Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva has the middle approach, bitlao bimagod, if you hang it on the peg, saver kribel yezer, because he says that's showing that you care about it. Binich lachor yadelis, if you just put it behind the door, so look Rabbi Yeshua, no, that's like throwing it in the garbage. So those are the three opinions, but that's the case of the Mishnah. And the Gemara just ends off for Hadar Rabbi Akiva lagabi Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva ended up agreeing with Rabbi Yeshua. Why? Because of our Mishnah. Mimai, how do you know that he agreed ultimately, like with Rabbi Yeshua, that unless you put it in the drawer, it's all tahar? Mama Rava mi diktani, because the Mishnah says, psilas habeged. My Arya Detani Psilas Habeged, Lisni Psila Shel Beged. Why does it say in the Mishnah Psilas Habeged, which is Mashma a Psila of the Beged, meaning you took a Psila of a larger Beged, just say you used an entire Beged as the wick. Psila Shel Beged. My Psilas Habeged, what does it mean? Psila of the Beged, the Adayin Beged who? It must be to emphasize to us that it is still a Beged, and yet it's Tahar. And yet it's tar, right? You're allowed to use it to light with. Right? So therefore, you see, Rabbi Kiva went over to Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, different opinions that we had related to what the Mishnah is talking about. Vayter, next Mishnah. Lo yikav adam shaver shal beitza v'malena shemen v'yitzen apyaner b'shvil shehebren atefes. Oh, to remember, there's a sponsor for today's shiur. I'll have to mention it at the end. B'ez Hashem. Legalis, so a person should not make a hole in an eggshell, fill it with oil, and have that eggshell with oil drip into another bowl which has a wick in it that's lit. Meaning, instead of having just one bowl with a wick in it, where the oil is supporting the wick, but you have it in a different kli, and it's dripping in. You shouldn't do that. That it drips in. Why? What's the issue? Even if it's earthenware, which is kind of disgusting, and you might think people aren't going to touch, still you shouldn't do that. Why? Rashi says because you're worried about mechabe. You're worried about because it's not directly under the flame. You might take some of this oil for yourself for some other reason, and that's ultimately causing the light, the fire, to go out earlier. So that's gram kibui. That's extinguishing. It's going to extinguish it because you're removing some of the fuel that is extinguishing. That's what Rashi says, a chash of kibui, and that's what the Rambam here says in the Pirush Mishnayos. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, and the Achronim trying to figure out how to put it together, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah says, no, it's not an issue of kibui, it is muksa. The Rambam's lashon is that it is muksa. The Rambam says this in Hilchos Shabbos. For us, we are Shabbos, but Hashem is Shehu Bat Bo. Afilu Kafsa Aner. Afilu Natav Aner. But Beis Shehu Muktza Machmas Iser. Muktza Iser. Not an issue of keep. It's similar, but it's a little different emphasis. The Pnei Yeshua here and others discuss the difference in those two Rambams. Good. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I'm not worried. You're allowed to set this up. If you actually remove it, then it's a problem. But if you set up this system, I don't think it's a problem. Avalim chibra yotzim et chiva. But if it's all one kli that's all connected originally, this eggshell is physically connected to what's under it, mutter, mereshu kli echad, then we are not worried because it is all one kli. So interestingly, the Achronim discuss, we're talking about removing the oil. What happens on Yontif or Shabbos, closing, let's say you have a fire on, closing the gas that leads to the fires. That's a similar kind of idea. You're removing the fuel, you're cutting off the fuel. So is that a daraisa? Is that a drabanan? Is it gram kibui, which might be mutter on Yontif? We generally assume it's not mutter. But there are some achronim that want to say, maybe this is like this case, you're just gram kibui, with some gram kibui, it would be mutter on Yontif. Interesting. Again, obviously, if there's a danger, then for sure you turn it off. If the gas is on and there's no flame, for sure, there's no malacha here. Besides being sakana, for sure you're allowed to turn it off if there's no flame. The only issue, if there's a flame, are you, that's the issue. Vaiter, lo yamale adam kara shel shem, v'yedan b'sadaner, v'yedan b'sila b'socha b'shir shetesho aves. Similar idea, you have two bowls of oil. One bowl of oil has the wick in it. The other one does not. So, Tanakama says you're not allowed to set that up, so that the wick is in one bowl and it comes, it absorbs and draws oil from the other bowl. Again, you're not allowed to do that because we're worried. Review the matter, review this says it's not a problem. What do you need both these cases for? It's really three cases. The egg case, even if it's earthenware, and the case of the bowl. Vitzricha, you need all of these. Diyash, we need to show Farish al Beitza. If you only have the egg case, Bahakami Rabbanan, maybe only there, the Rabbanan say that it is a problem. I'm worried about it. Because it's not, the eggshell is not so disgusting, so you might take oil from it. But if it's made out of cheres, earthenware, maybe there's no worry. The oil in the earthenware vessel, you're not going to take. So that's why you need the second line of the Mishnah, that even if it's cheres, I'm worried. And if I only have the second case, maybe only there, Rabbi Yehuda is not worried. But maybe in the earlier case, he would agree that he's worried. He's only not worried because it's cheres. And if you only had the first two lines, maybe only over there, Rabbi Yehuda allows it, because there's no hefsik, there's no separation between the source, right? This eggshell or cheres is right on top of the flame. You see, it's all connected. Aval ka'ara de mifsaka, but if it's a separate bowl, so then maybe even Rabbi Yehuda would be worried. Eva modul rabbanan. V'yeshbina b'yahi, and if you only have that case, mehi kamer rabbanan. Maybe only over there the rabbanan are worried. Aval bahani tarti, but the first two, eva modul l'Rabbi Yehuda tzricha. That's why you need all of the cases to say that there's a machlokas in all of the cases. Good. V'yem chibra yosem mitchila mutter v'chul. If you made it all one cleat to begin with, it's mutter. Tana, im chibra besidu b'charses mutter. If you attached it with lime or with cement, it's mutter. V'yanan yotzer tzan. I thought it said the craftsman has to do it originally. You can't just slop on something that connects it. No, my yotzer ke'en yotzer. Any type of connection. Doesn't have to be a professional connection. Any type of connection of the kalim would be okay. Tanya, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Palacha Shavteinu Ba'aliyas Beis Nitzavalud. One time we were sitting in the attic. Ve'viyu lanu shvaver shalbeitza. And they brought us this case. Umilanua shemen. V'nikvanua. V'hinachnu apyaner. Right, we set up this contraption, Rabbi Yehuda says, V'hayishem Rabbi Tarfon v'zakenim, and all the rabbis were there, V'lo amrul anadava, they didn't say anything. So you see, I'm right. So you see, you can set up this contraption, there's no worry. Amrulo, they said, no, misham raya, shiny bein nitsa, this reason, hey, no, those are big time chachamim. So we're not worried there. Huge discussion, the Chachma Shlomo on Shulchan Aruch discusses. Since when are there different rules for rabbis? If there's Xeris Drabanan, oh, but we're not worried that they're going to do the Aveira there, so therefore they're allowed to do it. We never have that. Oh, if it's all rabbis, you can blow shofar on Shabbos because we're not worried. You could. This is a very difficult line, right? All of a sudden, maybe because the gzeira, maybe the gzeira didn't really take root yet. Maybe that's it. It was still early before it was nigzar b'chol Yisrael at the original time. But once something takes root, you have halacha. There's no difference in terms of what kind of Jew you are or how observant we are, right? It's the same rules. For Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't blow shofar on Shabbos, right? Because it's, so this is a very difficult law. You have to say maybe it was early in history where before it took root. Abin Sipora Gorer Safsala Baliyasa Deshisha. Abin Sipora dragged a bench in the attic that was made of marble, shisha, meaning it was marble, it was a hard surface. La'ela mi Rabbi Yisrael ben Elazar, in front of Rabbi Yisrael ben Elazar, Amar le'i, ishtuki lecha, kidishasiku le'chad ve'i Rabbi Yehuda. If I don't say a word, like the previous story, they all knew that previous story, so nafik mi nechor, if I don't say a word, then terrible things are going to come out of this story. Why? You're dragging a bench, so what, it's a hard surface, people are going to get confused. Gezeira aliyasa de shisha, ato aliyasa de alma. People might think that you could drag a bench in any attic, and sometimes attics have dirt floors, and then you might be making furrows there. So therefore, you know, I better say something, so people realize that you're not allowed to do it. Reish kinish to the batzra gar safsala, leila mirbir miyaraba. Similar story. Amar le, come on. Why are you dragging this bench? Reb Shimon. Like Reb Shimon, which Reb Shimon? This is Reb Shimon, we had it once earlier in the Masechta. Davar she'enu miskaven. If I do a malacha, if I do an action, which might or might not cause a malacha, that's davar she'enu miskaven. Reb Shimon said that's mutter. Reb Yehuda hold that's usser, because of the chance. So Reb Shimon has the chiddush, right? You might say, what do you mean? It's savi darais alachumra. No, Reb Shimon shita is davar she'enu miskaven is mutter. That's not called maleches machsheves on Shabbos. If I'm not sure if a malacha is going to happen, so I'm allowed to do it. This doesn't mean if I don't know a metzias. I'm not sure if the light's on in the fridge. I'll open the fridge. Davar she'enu miskaven is mutter. No. You have to know whether the light. That's called suffix in metzias. Right? But here, it's like Reb Shimon. So he says, why are you dragging the bench like Reb Shimon? Eimer, Dara Reb Shimon, Big Dolim. Dolo Efshar. Reb Shimon only allows you to drag it if you're talking about a huge bench which you can't pick up. You don't have a choice. Biktanim Yamar. Does Reb Shimon really say Shita even by Ketanim where you have a choice? So that is the Shita of Rabbah. So, Pliga de Ula. Ula argues on that, because Ula says Reb Shimon is across the board. Domar Ula, Machlokas. Biktani in the Machlokas is, but the Machlokas, Reb Yehuda, is even where you have a choice. Of a Bigdolim, they're called Mutter. By Gdolim, where you have a large band, even Reb Yehuda would be its Mutter. So it's a machlokas how far Reb Shimon goes. Matzav Reb Yosef, Reb Shimon Omer. Reb Yosef says, 1 minute. We have the case of Reb Shimon we had earlier. Reb Shimon Omer Gor Adam Mita Kise Visafsal. Reb Shimon says you're allowed to drag a bed, a chair, or a bench. As long as you don't have kavana to make a furrow, k'tani gdolim k'tani k'tanim. So you have a bed here, which is gdolim, and you have a kise, which is k'tanim. Kashlo shavayu, because you see the machlokas is by both of them. So it's a bakash on both of earlier opinions. Ula mataris latayme, Rabbi Yirmi Rabba mataris latayme. Rabbi Yirmi Rabba. Ula mataris latayme, Mita dumit kise. Ula says, no, what it means here is a bed similar, it's a small bed. Dumit kise. Rabbi Yirmi Rabba mataris latayme, kise dumit mita. No, it's a big chair. Right, so either way, they both explain the machlokas according to their own reasoning. Finishing up, Masiv Rabba. Rabba asks, Mochrek sus mochren kedarkan. The mo people who sell clothing, the Mishnah in Kilayim, mochren kedarkan. They could sell clothing, even though they have all these jackets, and together they might be shatnez. There are a lot of wear them. They're allowed to wear them. Let's say the seller wants to model the clothing, so they can put on three coats at one time. Even though they might be shanis together, don't worry about it. As long as he doesn't have in mind to protect himself from the sun or the rain, from the elements when he puts it on. But snuin mafshilim b'makalacharen, and snuin did not wear them. The people who are extra pious, they used to put these clothing on sticks and hang it behind them, meaning not put it on, because they wanted to be makpid for this extra stringency of shatness. Says the Gemara, you see, from here, look, here, there is a way out. You didn't have to wear it. You could put it on the stick. And yet, it's mutter. This mission is going to Reb Shimon. So isn't this a proof that Reb Shimon allows it even when there's a choice? Tiyufta, Reb Yirmiyah Rabba Tiyufta. So it's a kasha, because that's what we assume. We assume Reb Shimon holds it's mutter even if there is a choice. The huge discussion that we're going to start off with tomorrow is, this isn't Davar Shein Miskav in this last case. Isn't this case a psikresha? Isn't this case where it's vada going to happen? It's not a maybe it's going to happen. That's Tosfos' kasha, and we're going to get into all of the opinions. Again, today's shiur was sponsored by Dr. Arthur Cook and family on the yard site of Dr. Milton Cook, Moshe Ben Yosef, who established a foundation of Torah for his children and grandchildren. So we thank Dr. Arthur Cook and his family for sponsoring the shiur again for the yard site of Dr. Milton Cook, Moshe Ben Yosef, who established a foundation of Torah for his children and his grandchildren.